means. I'm going to hold you all for just a moment, okay? I want to make some general announcements tonight. And, Ravonna, do you have those slips that we made up today? Okay. Is that all you have? You weren't able to get more copies? Okay. 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 Starting probably not this next Wednesday, I want to make this announcement right now. This next Wednesday, I want to have a prayer meeting slash administrative meeting with the church. By that I mean I need to meet with several different departments in the church, like the singers, the praise team. I want to meet with them real quick, the council for a few moments, and if you would, make every effort to be here this next Wednesday night, because we're going to be making some changes that I feel are directed by the Holy Spirit that are going to facilitate the move of God and the harvest that God is going to send us. And in general, we need to tighten things up a little bit. Okay, good chance to say amen there. I mean, we're going to starting church on time, and you need to be here on time. Another good chance to say amen, Pastor. Okay, I want to cover several different things with several different groups from the church, just to explain to you what we're doing, why we're doing it. And please, that's next Wednesday. I'm going to be putting out a phone tree about it. Next Wednesday, we're going to be having a prayer meeting slash administrative meeting for all departments of the church. And I'm asking you, I don't often put a lot of pressure on anybody, but I'm asking everybody. I mean, even to the point, if you can, if you have to rearrange your work schedule, school schedule, or whatever, please make every effort, if you can, to be here next Wednesday night. It's that imperative for the advancement that I believe we're going to make in the kingdom of God. And I want you, everybody's a part of it, and you need to know what we're doing and why we're doing it, because some of you are no doubt going to have some questions. Well, why are we doing that? And that's what I want to answer. So please, next Wednesday night, make every effort, everybody who's affiliated with this church, to be here if you can. Secondly, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be changing our format on Wednesday nights just a little bit. And I want the teens, I want everybody to be involved in this. And we're going to have more of these. Have a little slip here. And it's just got some simple questions on it. It says, Pastor, I would like to know more about blah, blah, whatever you want to fill in there. So my question is, I feel the Holy Spirit has directed me to scratch everybody where they're itching right now, so to speak. In other words, if you've got a question, something you don't understand about anything in the Bible, I don't care what it is or about why we do things the way we do, something going on in the church world right now, whatever's on your heart, I want you to fill out this form, and I want you to put down your question, and we're going to deal with it on Wednesday night. Even if it takes on one topic, we spend 2 or 3 weeks, whatever your question is, we're going to deal with it and answer it from the Word of God, because the Word of God has all of our answers. Amen? So please take one of these tonight, even you teens. We're going to have to get some more copies. Like Ravonna said, we're a little bit short. We couldn't get the copier here in the church to work the way we wanted it to. But next week we're going to have some more of them. I'll have some more on Sunday even. And so 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to begin covering your questions, what you want to know. What's burning on your heart about the Word of God, something you don't understand? It could be very general. It could be as general as something like, please explain to me why I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Something that may take 2 or 3 weeks to cover. But I believe we're going to be blessed by it, and I believe you'll be blessed and uplifted by it, and it'll give you a significant part in the Wednesday night service, because we're going to be teaching on what God's spoken to your heart about and what's on your heart. So that's going to be the change we make, okay? So we're not going to be, as in times past, it's always been, at least with everybody who's been under my ministry, I've usually just taken a book of the Bible and taught it straight through. And I believe everyone in this church now knows the message of the cross and its basic tenets at least well enough to where, we don't have to keep going over that. But if you've got a question about how that's applied to your life, whatever, please fill these out. You don't have to sign them. It's got a place on there to sign your name. If you feel it's too personal or something you don't want revealed who you are for whatever reason, you don't have to put your name on it. If you want to, you can. And I'll be announcing from on Sunday what subjects we're going to be covering, you know, the next Wednesday, how long we're going to be on it maybe, you know, we're going to be flexible on it. But in any event, please, grab one of these. We're going to run out tonight, but we'll have some more on Sunday morning. Grab one, fill it out, and then just turn it in to the ushers, and they'll give them back to me, okay? And again, make every effort, if you can, to be here next Wednesday night. Okay, this time now, teens, you can be dismissed to go to your class. And for the rest of us, let's turn to Psalm 127. And I want to read something to you that I believe the Lord has really laid on my heart for tonight. And I won't hold you long tonight. Psalm 127, I believe this is very, very pertinent to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our church right now. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. And there's some beautiful contextual things there I'm going to cover tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I know that you're about to, and have already begun to move in the spirit realm in a mighty way on behalf of this church. Lord, I pray tonight you'll give us fresh vision to everybody who's affiliated with this church. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would excite us with the power of your Holy Spirit to know, Lord, and that we're about to see, I believe, a move of your Holy Spirit and manifestations of your Holy Spirit like we have never seen before in this body. Lord, that miraculous things are going to begin to transpire, particularly in the realm of winning our family members and our lost loved ones to you, Lord Jesus. That, Father, they're going to begin to call. They're going to begin to seek, Lord. And at the same time, the enemy is going to try and come in like a flood. I know that, Lord. I know this church has rattled the cage of hell with the direction we're going now. For, Lord, you've marched out before us, and you're leading us, and you're telling us to go forward right now in the name of Jesus, to advance the kingdom of God. And, Lord Jesus, I'm excited about that. Victory is ours tonight. No matter what the enemy may throw at us, victory is ours and will evermore be ours. And, Lord Jesus, I just ask tonight, in these few moments we're going to spend together, that your Holy Spirit would open up to us your vision, your plan, and your work, and will not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. In this 127th Psalm, when it's written, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That right there is the key to all proper church growth. You hear so much about church growth these days. But contained in the Word of God is the key to effective church growth. First, really how it works is the Holy Spirit builds the believers. That's what's supposed to happen when we come in to this sanctuary every time we come in to meet. The Holy Spirit of God will build that individual believer. And as that believer is built up and equipped, should be equipped by what I'm teaching and preaching, you can then go out into the world with the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you, and people will recognize that. And people, get ready. Oh, get ready. I feel it in my heart right now. I could shout. The anointing is going to fall on you people in ways that you've not heretofore known. Hallelujah. I sense some of you bear witness with that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon everybody in this church in a way we've not heretofore known. Because God wants us to gather a harvest for Him. The rapture's about to happen, church. We don't have long left down here on planet Earth. The rapture is soon to happen. And I believe God is going to use our little body. I don't know how far He's going to take us, but we're going to see a harvest of souls. I will tell you that. It's coming. Jesus said it. It's been rolling through my mind so much over the past couple of weeks. when he said, look on the fields, for they're already white to harvest. You know, think of that. They're already white to harvest, likening that harvest to cotton, which is pure white, which symbolizes salvation, the salvation of souls, the purity of human souls. That field is white to harvest. And more and more now, as I see how people are hungry for God, the church world is finally starting to realize, because the Holy Spirit is moving to show them. The church world is finally starting to realize they're missing something. They have been missing something. And that something is what we've had for a long, long time. Christ and Him crucified. That's the answer. That's the answer. We've sat under this message for about 8 years now, all of us together. And now I feel the urgency of the Holy Spirit telling me, go forward. We've got to stop thinking of ourselves as just some small, little, helpless, haphazard band of people. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the greatest message. We have the message of the hour, Christ and Him crucified. And we as a church need to put our best foot forward for whoever God sends us. They need to see this church flowing and functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with being informal. But now, I bear the fault of this as pastor. Nothing wrong with being informal. I fear we've become too casual in how we're operating. Casual just means laid back and unconcerned. We've got to be concerned about what we're presenting to those God's going to send us. They need to see some semblance of organization. They need to see that we are serious, dead serious about what we believe and the power of this gospel. And the changes we're going to be making, I believe the Lord has directed, as I said, they're going to facilitate this move of God. They're going to allow, I feel with all of my heart, glory to God, just what this scripture said. Except the Lord build the house. We can't build anything. And you may be wondering, Pastor, what you're laying down to us sounds pretty grand. It is pretty grand. But you know what? He's the one who's going to do the building. We just have to obey where He tells us to go and do what He says to do. Amen? Amen. That's the key to it all, is following Jesus. When the Holy Spirit says, move this way, move this way. And the Holy Spirit has given me very specific instructions on some things we're going to begin to do. And as I said, it's just a little bit of a tightening up. Don't nobody get uncomfortable. It's going to be good. We need to start church on time. Amen? Amen. That says something. You need to be here on time. Let me tell you something. I love you all to pieces. But now, some of us, if we treated our jobs like we treated the times we start churches, you'd have been fired months ago. Really? Yeah, and let me tell you something. We are coming in here to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We enter these doors to serve the one who hung on Calvary's cross for you and I. That means we should give it our very best effort every time we set foot in the door. We should treat it as the most important appointment we have all week long, all year long, because, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it is the most important appointment. What comes from this pulpit, not because I'm preaching it, it is the message. Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified is going to hold your family together, is going to heal your family if it's broken, is going to help your children come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing in the world. Hallelujah. And I fear that, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. I'm not talking down to nobody. I feel we've slipped into a casualness as a church. But the good news is, the Holy Spirit loves us enough to say, hey, you need to fix this because I'm getting ready to move. Don't take this as a negative, because it's not that way. It's the most exciting thing, I believe, that we could ever have happen to us. That God is saying, I want you to fix this because I'm getting ready to do something, and it's going to astound you, and it's going to be a blessing to you, your family, and your loved ones. Hallelujah. And the Lord is going to do it. But He's calling us to obey Him and follow Him in some specific areas, and to begin to view what we do inside this building as the most important thing we'll do all week long, because it is. It is. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to walk in here and throw up our hands and sing praise unto the Lord in a nice building, in a nice sanctuary. Let me tell you something, church, and I don't want to be harsh. I mean, that's not my intent at all, but If it comes across a little bit stringent, then maybe that's not so bad. There are people around this world tonight who would give anything to be able to walk into a building like this and to hear the Word of God and to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Some of them in third world countries walk miles just to get. I know this. I've spoken with missionaries, and I've talked with some of the missionaries down at Brother Swaggart's ministry. They go into these third world countries, and they're astounded always at the people, how some of them will walk 8 or 9 miles all week long just to get to a church service when they hear they're having one. And they'll stand in a tin building that's 110 degrees for hours on end, praising Jesus for that privilege to praise Jesus. We've got to get that same type of fervor. Let the Holy Spirit build that same type of fervor in our hearts where we realize we're going to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to be there on time because of Him, not because Pastor Greg's asking you to. I'm just trying to set the vision tonight and show why it needs to be that way. And I'm not trying to be mean to nobody, but Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross for us. Jesus Christ has washed our sins away in His precious blood. And if He's calling you and I to do something for Him, and the very minimum He's asking of us is get there on time, start it on time, and act like it's something important, not just something, oh, well, here we are, we're just all friends and la-di-la. We've got to get out of that. We've got to get out of it because God's got something great coming for us. That's the exciting part of it. That's why it's got to be this way. God's got something great coming for us. That's going to change lives. That's going to, for all of eternity. That's going to change your life for all of eternity. We have the privilege of being participants in the last great end time revival before the rapture of the church takes place. My Lord, what an honor. What a privilege. How exciting that is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is going to do the work. I'm not insinuating at all that it's on us. But we've got to obey Him. And we have got to let the Holy Spirit transmit through us to those that are walking through that God's going to be sending us, that this is important to us. And it should be that way anyway. As I said, I bear the fault of that as pastor. I've done a lot of repenting over the last couple of weeks. And I have told the Lord, I said, Lord, I haven't understood everything the way it's panned out, but I do understand this. Serving You and my preaching and teaching to those Your people, they're more important than my job. They're more important than anything else. And I don't care if I don't get promotions. I don't care if I don't get bonuses. If I've got to use my leave to start being there when I need to be there, then I'm going to do that. This last month really shook me with the way they forced us to work overtime. And I hated not being able to be here. It really got to me in ways that you all probably will never know. But I made up my mind that, Lord, You come first from now on. I won't allow that to happen anymore. I will take leave. They can't say nothing to me about taking leave. If I have to, if they mandate overtime on Wednesday nights or church time again, I'm going to tell them, just mark me down for leave. I earned plenty of it. I'm serious, church. I want you to see how serious I am. I believe God has spoken to me. And we really have. He's going to give us an anointing to do His work, to do His precious work. And that should excite all of us. He's putting out a call. He's putting out a call. God don't force anybody to do anything. But He is asking this church, will you step up for me? Will you step up for me and show those I'm going to send you how much Jesus means to you as a body and as individual people. And you know, I've always preached to you that if our faith is right, fruit will be produced as a result of that faith. If we really believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, hung on Calvary's cross, shed His blood for the remission of our sins, let me tell you something. Let me put it in terms like this. It's sad when you can't even use the President of the United States as an example. If some important potentate was announced to be here in this church, and we said service is going to start at 7 o'clock, odds are most of you would do whatever you had to do to get here at that time. We must adopt that same kind of attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has summoned us to worship. Wow! What a privilege. What a privilege. It's not a burden. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to walk in here and to freely be able to throw up our hands and say, Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross for us. It's a privilege to be able to open up this word without fear of going to jail or without fear of any persecution and to hear what thus saith the Lord. It's the most important thing we'll ever do. And God's going to do some building for us, church. God, the Holy Ghost, is already at work on the building process. We must go after Him. This is not an option. We must go after Him. We have been chosen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be active, forward participants in this end time revival. And God is going to go before us. Hallelujah. Just like Israel, when He told them, you bear up that ark. You have the priests bear up that ark on their shoulders. And when you tell the people, when they see the ark moving, to remove from their place and go after it. God, the Holy Ghost, is saying to this church, I've started a move. I've started a move that's going to sweep your loved ones, that's going to sweep alcoholics, that's going to sweep those that are ensconced in false doctrine into the kingdom. Will you step up for my sake and follow me? And when God asks anybody to do something like that, if they follow Him, there is blessing coming like those people have never known. This Word of God backs me up on it. Well, hallelujah. When they went after the ark, that ark was leading them to a promised land, hallelujah, that was greater than anything they'd ever known before. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel that tonight. It's exciting, church. And I'm wanting to put it in a way to where you won't look upon what God's calling us to do as some kind of burden, because it shouldn't be that way. We've got the right message. We've got the right message. Now it's time to go forward and follow the Holy Ghost and to be a bastion of power for Almighty God. That's what He's calling us to be. Man, yes, it just sent shivers through you, don't it, Linda? Praise God, praise God, praise God. And it's going to be a work of the Lord. This is something we can't do. Don't get lost in the grand scheme of things of what God's calling us to do. We've got to obey Him. We've got to follow Him. He'll build the house. He'll build the house. There's where so many miss it. They try to produce in their churches what only God can do. They'll try that through other messages. God will build the house through this message. And it's our time now. I've heard from heaven. He's saying it's our time. And I don't want anybody to miss out. Our actions, let me put it in terms like this, as I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me. The Lord Jesus Christ is asking you as an individual who has been privileged to hear the message of the cross and believe it. Think of that. Think of all the people that are seated tonight in false doctrine. And it's got such a grip on their lives, and there's no power in their life. There's no joy in their life. And in their churches, they're hearing messages that can't even get them to God, to get God's help. And they're wondering what's going on. My Lord, I know we in this church, as I look out over it, most of us have been through hell on earth. But you know the good news of that is we've been through hell on earth. He brought us through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He brought us through it. He brought us through it. Glory to God. And it's our time. He's calling us. He's calling us. He's calling you as an individual. Will you help reap my end time harvest? And what He's asking us to do is not grievous and it's not strenuous. And it's nothing that's going to cost anybody a great deal. It just means all of us coming into line and obeying Him. And let me tell you something. I feel to exhort in this manner. We're always to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. But sometimes, when God speaks to one of His leaders to go a certain direction, and He tells that leader to transmit that message to the people, to ask of them certain things, as long as what I asked you to do as pastor is not outside the confines of this book, you'll be blessed if you'll follow it. If you believe I'm hearing from God in the messages I preach and in the direction that the church is being taken, And I'm talking about things like there may be, you know, let me give you an example, like this deal of let's make an effort to start on time and to show up on time. Now, how much is that to ask? Really? And that's what the Holy Spirit's directed me on right now. Because He's going to be sending us people. It's going to start to happen. They're going to start to find this church. And when they do, they need to come in, they need to see a people that is serious about what they believe. That says we love Him so much for what He's done for us, we're going to look and act like it is what it is. The most important thing we do all week long. Gather corporately to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to hear from His Word. Now, is that hard or grievous for Him to bless us and for Him to begin to build this house? These are the kind of minor things that the Holy Spirit is asking of us. Others of you, He's going to require more out of you. Some of you are very, very gifted in a lot of areas. Everybody in this church is very, very gifted. We need everybody to answer God's call on their life. In whatever capacity it is, that's how God will build this house. As we submit to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to use us, there is not a one of you that doesn't have a gift that God has given you to help preach this gospel. Not everybody has the same gifting. And that's what we need to do. We need to get the people working in their calling, working in their specific calling. And now some are going to try and do things they're not called to do. That's my job as pastor. And I will tell you, I love you, but I tell you, if you're trying to do something that you're not called to do, and this body is bearing total witness with it, how can I say this? Lord, help me to say it right. If you see somebody up trying to do something that they're obviously not called or anointed to do, the thing to do is not to be sappy with that person and pat them on the back and tell them how great they're doing. Amen? The thing to do is to get with them and tell them, my brother, my sister, I believe you're gifted in this area, and this area, but not in this one. And it doesn't make you less of a Christian, less of a person in God's sight. It just means there's an area you're trying to function in that God has not called you to function in. It's like I've shared with folks many times. I would give anything to be able to sing. Oh, I'd give anything to be able to sing. I would. I love to, sometimes in the car, I'll just sing my heart out because I'm the only one who can stand to hear it. But it's a joyful noise to the Lord, but I'd give anything to be able to sing. But God has not gifted me in that realm. And when I tried to do that, guess what? The body bore witness that I wasn't called in that realm. Amen? But when I stand up to preach and teach, there's a strong witness there from the body that, yes, that's what God's called you to do. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So please, we're going to be doing some moving around to facilitate what God's called certain people to do. Don't get mad and don't get angry over that. Let me tell you something. We're in a constant state of change. Things are going to change all the time. Now, I can tell you one surety, nothing's going to stay the same. You know, that's one thing. That's one thing that is not going to change is change. Amen? And if it's something that we're asking you to do that doesn't violate the Word of God, then you should do it, frankly. You should do it. If it's not violating the Word of God, because I've said this before, I'll say it again tonight. Check it out in your Word. And I want to preface my comment with this. You have one of the godliest counsels in this church you could ever hope to have. They are men full of the Holy Ghost that love you, love Jesus, and love this church and have its best interest at heart. But I'm going to tell you something. God's never spoken to a board. God's never spoken to a board. God speaks to the individual leader. And I'm not saying you should take whatever I'm saying without. That's what you have this word for. If what I'm asking you to do is in line with this word, as your pastor, then you know, you better at least take heed to it and pay attention to it. Amen? And then it'll be confirmed if it's of the Holy Spirit. That's what your counsel is there for. It was just like a few weeks back when we got ready to the Lord put it in my heart to give Brother Swaggart's ministry $10,000 out of our building fund. As there, how many of you have been watching Sunloft Broadcasting Network? Anybody got a chance to see it yet? Isn't it a tremendous blessing to have that? Today, as a matter of fact, October 6th, they went on DirecTV. And I was off work today on sick leave because of this thing on my neck. And I was watching Sister Frances' show. And the letters that are already pouring in of souls and people praising God for hearing the message of the cross. Church, we sent that. God's going to bless that. Hallelujah. But God spoke to me first about it. And said, here's what I want you to do. And then, it's not that I'm a dictator or anything like that. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But God spoke to me to do it. He didn't speak to Ned to do it. He didn't speak to Dennis or Chris or Mahari or Paul. He spoke to me as pastor. Said, here's what I want you to do. And along with that command, he told me. He said, you go to the council. I'll prepare their hearts. When he first spoke it to me, I thought, Lord, you're insane. I said that wrong. Not, Lord, you're insane. I thought, Lord, they'll think I'm insane. God, forgive me. I didn't mean to say that like that. I thought, Lord, they're going to think I'm insane. And he said, I'll prepare their hearts. You go and tell them. And he said, if you'll obey me on this, watch what I will do. Now, I don't know what that means yet, the full import of it. But I've got a God based on how he blesses. Hallelujah. I've got a God right here from Genesis to Revelation. And I can tell you, great stuff is on the way. Because when we did that, we sent a message to Almighty God, we're serious about this gospel. We're serious about spreading it around the world, and we're serious about spreading it in this community. And God is going to bless and honor that. That's how God's building this house right now. It's already going on in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And we are participants in that in a worldwide level, and God's going to make us participants in it on a local level. He's going to send us a harvest. And I got to hurry. I haven't even got halfway through what I was going to say. That second verse there. The way it literally reads in the Hebrew is that we are never separated from God, and God is blessing us even when we're asleep. Think of that. When we're asleep even, the Holy Spirit is working on us and blessing us. Church, we've got the message. My Lord, it's God's message. It's not our message, but we've got it. And he's really calling us right now. I'm just transmitting to you what I feel I've heard from heaven. It's your job to judge it and see if it's worthy of following or not. But I know he's calling this church to step it up because he's going to send us the people. We need you to sing. If you can sing, we need you to step up and do it. If God's called you to teach, we need you to step up and do it. And it's an honor and a privilege to work for him. Satan would love to have us look at it as, oh, no, we got to do this again. I'm here to tell you, sometimes I come in here dragging from work on Wednesday nights. But there's never been a Wednesday night, even when I've been dead on my feet. Chris, you know what I'm talking about. You teach too, and others of you who teach. That when I've left this building, I have not left with a joy in my soul and with a renewed vigor in my soul like I've never known because I've been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Even when you sit under the Word of God, sometimes you may not realize it. You may think it was the most boring message in the world, but if it was Scripture and it came out of Scripture, the Holy Spirit using it to bless you when you don't even know it. Praise God. That's the power of God's Word. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So, church, be in prayer. I've got to close now. I said I was going to be through quick tonight. Here it is already after 8 o'clock. I pray that the Lord has given me the words, and I ask him to ignite your hearts with a renewed fire of serving him, first of all, and taking his message to a lost and dying world. He's going to send us the people. They're going to start to come. And when they do, I want them to see a praise and worship team standing up there that's dressed and standing like they're soldiers in the army of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I love you. I love you to pieces. But let me tell you something. When there's more enthusiasm in an NFL game than there is in the house of God, it's pretty sad. I'd give anything to be able to sing. But the way to sing is not like, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Boy, that really looks like a person has victory in their soul, don't it? You say, but pastor, I'm shy. It ain't about you. Stand up here with your shoulders squared. Oh, victory in Jesus. my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Glory to God. Sing it like you're singing it for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who went to the cross for you. Dress like it's the most important day of the week, because it is. You're doing it for Jesus. I'm not asking you to do it for me. Praise God. Praise God. I don't even know this thing even on. I'm like I'm preaching into it. You get my point. We're going to be teaching on some mechanical things like that to train, for lack of a better word, to make us cognizant of how we're presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ and what we need to be looking like when folks walk in here. Now imagine, now those of you that can watch Sun Life Broadcasting Network, now how many of their singers do you see walking in holding their mic down below their leg? No. Yeah, I know. It's a mean streak, but it's a loving mean streak, because it's going to help us. They stand there with their shoulders squared and that mic like this, like they are singing for the potentate of the world, because they are. That's how we're going to start to look when we sing on Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This is good preaching. Well, we're going to be. If you'll commit to it, we're going to be giving you a budget to buy you some clothes with. That'll match, so that we'll look like we're together on Sunday morning. Amen? Oh, yeah. There's some exciting things coming. See, they'll be blessing in it for you. We're not going to ask you, probably all you ladies thinking, oh, no, he's asking us to buy new dresses. And no, it's so important, we're going to buy them for you. Amen? We're going to look like a church. We're going to look like we're serious about what we're doing. Amen? Praise God. I've got to shut up. I think you got the point. Great days are just ahead of us. Great days are just ahead. Give Jesus a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'll shut up. Please take one of these. Ravonna, would you come get these and put them back there? Ned, you can. Fill them out. And as we're dismissed tonight, I want us to stand. Let's stand to our feet. And I want you to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? We need every one of you. Each and every one of you has got a work to do in gathering in this harvest that God's going to send us. It could be just greeting people at the door. If God's called you to do it, it's important. Come and let me know, Pastor, I feel God's leading me in this area. I promise you, that's my job as pastor. I'll facilitate that ministry. I'll make sure that you get to perform what you're feeling called to do. And incidentally, one of the changes that we're going to make, I want to share with the church, is that Brother Chris has for a long time now felt a calling of God to be a worship leader. And so now, and this is going to help tremendously, he and Michelle are going to share the worship leader duties. Chris is going to have it 2 weeks. Michelle's going to have it 2 weeks. And on the weeks that Chris is leading worship, we're either going to have a special guest speaker for the teens, or they're going to sit in here with us. That's why I want them to fill out those questionnaires too, because the questions they ask will enlighten all of us. And I will be, in effect, teaching them at the same time as I'm teaching the adults. So that's one thing that's coming. That'll probably be implemented a week from this Sunday, that rotational system. And next Wednesday night, please make every effort to be here if you can. Because, church, we're doing the most important business in the world now. We're working for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's asking us, will you help me gather in my harvest? And if we'll come his way and say, yes, Lord, we will. My. And I'm going to be bold on this. It's going to happen whether all of you decide to go with us or not. Because there's enough I know that's going to decide to go. And let me tell you something. When the spies were sent into Canaan, when Moses sent in those 12 spies into Canaan, one from each tribe, and all of them came back carrying the grapes that were as big as melons, and they said, that land is everything that God told us it was. but there's giants in the land. And they'll crush us. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. Let me tell you how I know this is God calling us to do what he's calling us to do, because it's so far above our heads. He's the only one who can do it. Amen? Only Joshua and Caleb, two of those spies, came back. You know what their report was? We are well able to take the land, because God had already given it. God had already given it. All he was asking them to do was simply go in and occupy it. He said, I'll defeat the enemies before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going before us, church. He's going before us. Make up your mind you're going to be a Joshua or a Caleb. You're not going to be like that 10 that hunkered down. Well, we can't do that. What is Pastor? What kind of thing is he leading us into? You'll fall by the wayside and you'll get blessed. Only Joshua and Caleb got to enter the promised land out of that entire generation, because they believed God. And they were blessed beyond all measure. If you'll believe God and this vision that I've cast before you, but it's what I believe he's given me, you're going to know blessing like you've never known before. Praise God. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight. And I feel I've done it stumblingly, Lord. But I know the power of your Spirit. And I ask that you set this church on fire. I ask that you cause our hearts to blaze with a renewed love and vigor for Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. And I pray you'll baptize this entire church again, individually and corporately, in the power of your Holy Spirit, so that our heartbeat would become your heartbeat, Lord. Our desires will become your desires, Lord. And our work for the kingdom will be looked upon as a privilege and as an honor, not as a burden to bear. And Lord, I know it's coming. I know it's coming, and I praise you before time for it, Lord. I praise you before time for it. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've begun. And I know you that have begun a good work in us, you're going to see it through to completion. And the greatest days we've ever known spiritually as a church, as individuals, are just ahead of us. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Amen and amen. Would you give him a hand of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There anybody tonight, before we're dismissed, you want prayer, I want you to come forward right now. I feel the Holy Spirit moving. Michelle, would you come? I specifically want you. If there's anything else you want prayer for any reason tonight, I want you to come.